time to talk baseball and everything sports. It's Friday Night Live by Lowe's, sponsored by Goodwill. Give hope, give local, give Goodwill. Now, Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Live at Lowe's show. Ricky Horton's here. I'm Mike Claiborne. And this is our last show of the year,
right,
for the regular season, so we thought we'd end it in style. We have the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, who's with us, who we've been trying to set this thing up from the beginning of the season.
You can't get any bigger than getting Ozzie,
right? It doesn't get any bigger, of course not.
It's always great, Oz, to visit with you. Thanks for joining us, and always nice to have this chat after a game when the Cardinals win.
Yeah, they, you know, tonight was a good win for the club. You know, I think that the last week or so has, you know, hadn't been the best, and stuff, but you're starting to see the guys get it back together again, and it's nice to see.
I got to ask you about, and I want to ask this, Claibs, and then you can take over from here, but Albert, of course, had another nice big moment tonight, and, you know, you're a Hall of Famer, Oz. You're used to Hall of Fame moments, and you were a part of, you created Hall of Fame moments. I just wanted to get your impressions. We're going to talk about you, but just your impressions of Albert as you watch him play. What are some of the things that you think about?
Well, and I told him this tonight. It's greatness. You know, you're having the opportunity to see greatness in person. And he's not just hitting home runs. They mean something.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's driving in runs. He's getting big hits. That was the thing that you could always count on from him.
Yeah.
You knew what you were going to get, whether you were up by 10 or down by 10. You're going to get the effort. And he doesn't give away a bat. You know, he's working hard. And, you know, when this season started, sometimes when the stars line up, and the fact that we now have the designated hitter here in the National League made it perfect for him to be able to come back home. And he's just lit it up, man. And, I think it was at 690 when he got here, and every at-bat was a quality at-bat, you know, be it left-handed, right-handed. And I know the idea was just to let him bat against left-handers, but, boy, he hit right-handed pretty good, too.
Yeah, he outkicked his coverage for sure in terms of what we thought he would do. You said the stars aligned. I wanted to ask a follow-up thought about tonight's game. The stars were aligned in our pregame ceremony when you and Albert and Waino were out there catching a first pitch from three Clementes, two different – I mean, it's the for those who didn't see that or hadn't heard it, it's the 50th anniversary of when Roberto Clemente got his 3,000th hit against the Mets, John Matlack, on September 30th, 1972, one of the great players in our game. And so you're out there with the Clementes for that. What was that like for you? Did you enjoy that moment? And have you had a chance to get to know the Clementes at all, or is that just kind of a first time meeting them?
No, I've gotten to know the Clementes through the years, and of course, I won the Clemente Award in 95, I think it was. And so that's one of the things here in this city. You have so many guys that have won that award, you know, and it's service above self. And I think that's what makes this place so special, that you could have that many guys that have received that award. And it's just an honor to be a part of it.
Did you ever see Clemente play, by the way?
I did. I grew up in Southern California.
Yeah.
My favorite player to watch was Roberto Clemente.
Is that right?
You know, so I just catch the bus out to Dodger Stadium and sit in the bleachers and just watch his unique style of play. Yeah. And it's hard to try and duplicate the things that he did,
right,
because his style was so unique and stuff. But the energy that he brought to the game was always the thing that caught my eye.
I saw him play once. How about you, Clay?
Yeah, I saw him a lot. My dad would take me to games, and the first game I ever went to, he said, "Hey, there's a guy out here. I know we're here to root for the Cardinals, but there's a guy here. His name is, he wears number 24. Just pay attention to him." Mm-hmm. And, you know, in batting practice, and this is the thing that I miss about the game today, where they don't take infield in front of the fans. They don't shag balls in front of the fans. And he said, "Just watch this guy." And it was Willie Mays. He's making basket catches. He's making catches behind his back the whole nine yards. He's like a Harlem Globetrotter.
Right.
Never stopped watching him. And then when Pittsburgh rolled in, my dad said, "I want you to watch this 21. And, you know, he had that great throwing arm. I mean, you can hit one in the corner, and you think you can get two? Not with him. I don't know if I've ever seen a person with a more accurate throwing arm from the outfield. And, you know, he was a tough out. I mean, he had 3,000 hits on the nose, and he played on some really good teams. They had the lumber company is what they were after he passed, but he was really the guy who started that process of being a 5-tool player as far as the Pirates were concerned, because they always had good players, but for some reason they fall off the table. And you touched on something, Ozzy, that I think that I see more and more. You talk about the players who come up, including yourself, who have set a standard of professionalism on and off the field. And so I'm talking to a guy today about the Pirates, and I said, this O'Neill Cruz, what do you think? He said, he can do anything. I said, well, who's taking care of him? Who's looking out? He said, we don't have that guy. We don't have that tradition anymore. And that's the one thing we're so blessed about, because you're around the ballpark, you're at spring training. We have other guys after you that have found a way to stay involved with the organization. And you realize that there are a lot of teams that don't have those guys anymore. And that's an unfortunate situation. So I had one question for you. Well, one of a few, as John Rooney joins us here. It's good to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
How about anytime now from this point on, home run number 700, you're going to hear his voice.
Oh, yeah.
And I got chills tonight hearing it when they did the presentation for Albert. So, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I'm going to ask you, I remember you and I were standing on the field in 82. And Larry Boa had come up to you because they had won the year before.
Right.
And I remember him saying to you, hey, listen, the hard part is over. You're going to get in the World Series. That's when you have fun.
Yeah.
And I remember that. So how did you take on that whole thing about being in the World Series? Because it's a different setup than it is now compared to what it is now. Well, how did you approach it as far as you've already clinched and now you're trying to play out the string until you start playing for keeps again?
That's the pressure. And the pressure is always there, you know, because you want to perform well. And I think that as a player, all you can do is prepare yourself the same way. You don't want to get too much out of your routine. You know, prepare yourself. Scouting reports, you know, you have a chance to study those a little bit more. We studied.
But you studied the scouting reports in 82 and it didn't work out. And everybody said, we're going to go for what we know here.
Yeah, not that first game. You know, that first game, they beat the hell out of us.
Yeah, sure did.
You know, and I think that, you know, getting back to 82, you know, we did look at scouting reports and we felt that the scouting and stuff was good enough for us to try and pitch to the scouting report and play that way, and they hit the ball everywhere we were. And so we just threw the scouting report out and said, hey, let's do what we do. You know, go out there and play the way that we're capable of playing. And as it turned out, you know, we were able to turn that around, and we had a very good club. We didn't beat ourselves. And when you don't beat yourself, you always got a chance to win.
John Rooney's here, and it's great to have you here. And I'm gonna ask you, as I mentioned earlier, the call. And I think that's what's always going to be known as the call of Albert, because you were the person who was the voice not only of the Cardinals, but basically the voice of St. Louis. And that voice is going to be heard all around the world for the rest of your life. What was that like for you?
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
I was standing behind times. Jack when he called that up in the booth. I was doing a show with Bob Gibson and Lou Brock after those playoff games. And it's a moment like that that you get caught up when you see the ball go up in the air and make the call and try to make it historical. And I thought of Vin Scully every time he called a no-hitter or a big moment. He always put the date on it and the time. Mm-hmm. And Dan McLaughlin's showing me the time on his iPhone. So I had the date handy because I keep central time on mine for the broadcasts and all that. But it was just a special night. I told Ricky going to the ballpark, tonight's the night.
He's going to hit two
home runs. And tonight, we're going to the fourth inning, bottom of the fourth. I said, are you ready for 7:01? Because he's going to hit it right here. He took a look at his iPad. Albert goes down there and takes a look at the pitcher. He knows what he wants to do. If he gets the pitch he wants in a location he wants it,
that's right.
It's beautiful.
Best right-handed hitter that we've had a chance to watch play on a daily basis. It's prepared. And it's just amazing, that big moments. You know, you think about Hollywood. Hollywood. You know, it was, I mean,
it was the right stage.
It was the right stage, and he loves that stage, and he can perform. He's one of those very few guys that can perform on that stage.
So at the end of that particular broadcast, after he had been Hollywood for sure, John made the comment. He said, you know, he's as great a showman as we've ever seen.
And so did Danny. Danny was all over that.
Danny said the same thing. And I said, well, you know, if you talk about a showman that's played in a Cardinal uniform, it's the man sitting on my left right now, Ozzie Smith. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were a showman too, Ozzie. And, you know, not just a great player, but you recognized that this game had some entertainment value to it, yeah, too. And so did that evolve for you? Were you that kind of player in the minor leagues? You're that kind of player, not that you were there very long, but were you that kind of player in high school, in college? Were you always aware that, look, this game's got to be played with some flair and some entertainment value?
No, it's something that you evolve into, you know, the higher you go. And I guess for all of us, we try and corral those nerves and those special moments. And it's those guys that are able to maintain that level degree of breathing, you know, being able to take a breath in those moments. And that's when you experience success. And the people also have a lot to do with that, Rick. You know, the people that come out and root for you every day, and that's what makes this place so special.
So that was your fuel.
That was the fuel, you know, knowing that, first of all, you didn't want to let those people down because they support us so much here in this town. And that's why you get the effort every day. And you certainly get that from Albert. You get that from Yachty. You get that from Goldie. You get that from Arenado. This was a fun year. It was a fun year. And it was the year that fun came back to the game.
Were you digging the plays late in the game today? Newbar flying into the screen and then Goldschmidt the last. I mean, I know you love defense. You had to love that.
You know, Newbar and Donovan both, I mean, their legs went up in the air at the same time.
It was crazy.
It was a commotion.
You and Kurt Ford in left field.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
You know?
Hey, let's take our first break. Ozzie Smith, the Hall of Famer, is here along with John Rooney and Ricky Horton. I'm Mike Claiborne. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more from Live from Lowe's on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Time for more Friday Night Live by Lowe's. Sponsored by Goodwill. Give hope. Give local. Give Goodwill. Now, let's get back to Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne.
Welcome back, everyone. We are live at Lowe's. The Bullock is what they call this fine establishment, the second level of the Lowe's Hotel, just across the street from the ballpark, along with John Rooney, Ricky Horton, the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith is here. Ryan Franklin is here. We have a Cardinal Nation showing up in for our last show of the regular season. So I want to ask you a question, Ozzie. I saw a stat today where Aaron Judge has struck out 167 times this season. Tony Gwynn struck out 167 times
in his career.
During the 90s. During the 90s. You never struck out more than 49 times in your career. What's happened? Are we just so power-driven where we forgot about how to have discipline at the plate?
Yeah, you know, I think the analytical thing is we've gone a little forward. Now, baseball is a game of numbers. But we've gone so far with this analytical thing that we've allowed people, I think, that we've allowed people who have never played the game to start making rules and things with the game. That's why you come up with ideas or concepts. If the idea is to try and speed the game up, that's why you come up with starting somebody on second base. As baseball purists, that's not something that we would ever adhere to. I haven't talked to Whitey about this here, but I'm sure that I know exactly
how
he would feel about that. And, you know, as we go forward here, hopefully, I'm hoping that we'll get back to playing. I think the Cardinals, probably more so than anybody, really have gotten back to what the game. That's what we were talking about earlier, that there's excitement at the ballpark again. You see guys running. They're using the whole field. They're not limiting themselves to being able to just pull and hit the ball out on the ballpark. You know, one of the fascinating things or fun things for me to watch was Dickerson of 3-4 weeks ago where he got 10 straight hits and never pulled a ball. You know, he stayed on the ball and was hitting the ball the other way.
Two-strike approach.
And we've gotten away from the two-strike approach because people want to see the ball fly out of the ballpark. Now, I think the concept with analytics is that if you hit 600 fly balls, you know, you get 30 home runs or something like that. But what happens when the power gets shut off? You still got to be able to generate.
When you're facing a really good pitcher.
Really good pitcher. You still got to be able to generate offense without hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And to bring the ball back to you, you've got to hit the ball the other way. There's no reason for a pitcher to change his approach if he's getting you out of the way and you're just trying to hit the ball through the shift. And I know we're talking about now getting rid of the shift. It's not the shift's fault. It's the athlete's fault.
Right.
A player should spend time working on the thing that he's not good at. You know, you got to hit the ball the other way to bring it back to you. And I think that that's what's happened with the Cardinals.
We had Ray Lankford on during the fifth inning of the broadcast today. And I asked him the question, if they would have started drastically shifting during your day, what would you have done? I'd have hit the ball over there was his answer. And that's a, you know, that's a guy that had some pop, clearly, more home runs at Busch Stadium, too, than anybody in history. But what I always marveled at, you were such a great adjuster, Ozzy, as a player.
Improvisation. You know,
yeah,
that's
no
one
doubt.
Of the greatest assets to have is improvisation. And sometimes you got to change from pitch to pitch.
How many hits did you get with the first baseman holding a runner on first base between first and second when you're batting left hand? It seems like every time you were up, you did that.
That's right. Of course,
we had guys on in front of you a lot, which Vince was on or whoever was on, Willie. But you could hit that ball in that hole on purpose. That's where the spot was.
That's where it was, you know, and I think it was Dizzy Dean that said, hey, hit it where they ate. You know, so that was happened to be the biggest hole on the field at the time, you know. So, and we're playing on AstroTurf, too, and you don't have to hit it that hard, you know. So you learn the ability to pull the ball when you have to and hit the ball the other way when that's all they're giving to you.
Well, Ozzy, you said something. Our game right now, for a lot of teams, walks, strikeouts, hit by pitch, and home runs. And then you get to the 10th inning and put a runner at second base, then you play baseball.
Yeah.
But if you had moved runners along, if you had done that, you wouldn't be in the 10th inning to begin with.
There you go. You know, you would have had a better chance to win, you know. So, you know, you got to get back to the basics. And there's certain things that are never going to change. And I know that if I catch the ball better, I hit the ball better, I drive that runner in from third base with less than two down more consistently than the opposition, I got a better chance to win. That ain't ever going to change.
So you and Ricky played together. So when you saw him come out of the bullpen.
Uh-oh. He said, uh-oh.
See, I didn't say uh-oh.
I wasn't going to say that.
I didn't say uh-oh.
I figured I'd beat him.
How would you play him defensively knowing what kind of stuff he had?
Well, you know, here again, it depended on the scouting report. See, Ricky and the guys that I played with could pitch to a scouting report. And I think part of my job was that if they weren't able to get that ball in the spot that it was called for,
you got it.
I got to be able to make a play, not being in that position, and so that's what I prided myself on, being able to what I call catch their mistakes.
Yeah. Well, I got an example of that. I'm pitching to Keith Hernandez at Busch Stadium in the pennant race, and I'm pitching to him. I'm not sure what the date was, but I know it was in September. And he hit a rocket, man, right past my ear. And it's like, uh-oh, that's a base hit. I turn around, and Ozzy's standing right there behind second base. So whether you call that whatever you want to say, we would say shading, right?
We'd say
you're shading him up the middle. Ozzy was shading him right behind that second base bag. I'm glad he was there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had a lot of highs this year in the broadcast booth. When Keith Hernandez said to Ricky that, you know, he was really tough on him.
He would smoke a cigarette out there.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but I think it's something like this. I think he said, I didn't like hitting against you more than hitting against Ken Daly, which, by the way, I called him and told him that on the way home.
He said, see, I told you. Well, you know what? I see, and John and Ricky see, this is a very close-knit team. And when you have guys that play hard for each other and you have some veterans on the team, it means a lot. Who were some of the guys that you guys played with? Who were those veterans that allowed you guys to grow and also put their arm around you to talk to you to make you a better player?
And you touched on it earlier about having that experience. You know, you had your Bob Forshes. And you know, your pitchers kind of take care of pitchers, and regular players kind of take care of regular players. But you had Bob Forge. We happened to have Gene Tennis. We had George Hendrick.
Yeah.
George Hendrick being
remind me
a
about
part.
The George Hendrick story, yeah. I want to tell you
but,
here in a bit.
But George was one of those guys that had experienced what Wynn was. He was on those three
with the Oakland A's.
Oakland A's,
right?
You know, and people forget.
He was used
that.
To winning.
He's
yeah.
used to winning, and they knew what winning was all about. And it was interesting the other night when the Cardinals clinched, listen to Albert talk. And when I listened to Albert talk, he was talking the same way that Gene Tennis would talk, that, hey, guys, we're going to enjoy this tonight.
We got work to
we
do.
Got a lot of work to do. We, you know, this is just one leg of a long, long journey, you know. So enjoy this tonight, but let's get back at it. The other thing was that I saw Goldschmidt right back in the lineup, and I knew that he had probably told Ollie, look, I want to be in there tomorrow. Because right. the tendency is to give some the guys the day off. And he had been struggling a little bit, and he was starting to swing the bat again. He was starting to feel it. So I was glad to see him back in the lineup. And he's one of those guys that lead by example. When your best players are your hardest workers, hey, it makes life yeah. a lot easier.
So I want to tell this Ozzie story. You guys were around when Mario Soto had the near no-hitter in George.
Yeah.
And so
true story.
The next day, Joaquin Andujar is out on the field talking to Mario Soto. And there's one guy sitting at this table who went up to George and said, hey, is that Joaquin over there talking to Mario Soto? And he looked at George tells the story. He said, I looked at that little so-and-so, and I said, there he is, starting some bleep again.
Yeah.
And then he went out and started screaming at Andujar, what did I do? He said, because of you, you could stir the pot with the best of them.
Oh, man, come
well,
on.
Well, George was better.
George was much better.
George was the pot stirrer extraordinaire.
But you know that story that you're talking about? Mario Soto had great changeup.
Maybe the best changeup I've ever seen.
Certainly, and I hit left-handed, and it was a heck of a changeup. Okay, but I think we had gotten to the eighth inning.
It was the bottom of the ninth.
It was the ninth.
It was the ninth inning with two outs.
Top of the ninth.
Right.
Top of the ninth.
Top
right,
of the ninth.
We're in Cincinnati.
Right.
I'm going to say the best game I ever saw an individual pitch. Mario Soto was pitching against us. We could not touch him.
Couldn't touch him. So. I believe George had two strikes on him.
He did.
Mario Soto decides he's going to separate him from his helmet.
Yep.
It's cap. You know George never put his cap all the way down.
And he had mud in his cap. He
knocked him down, and George got up very, very calmly.
Wiped
his helmet off. Yeah, he put his helmet back on, and he got up and he hit him off of that facade.
Yep.
And then when he come in, he said, man, golly, boy, you really hit that one. He says, you know what? I was going to let the kid have the no-hitter, but then he got cute.
It made me mad.
It made me mad.
I can still picture George saying that. I was in the dugout when he said that, and it was so classic George, and he said it very matter-of-fact. The other part of that is on the 0-2 count, the rookie catcher called timeout and went out to talk to Soto. You got 0-2 in the bottom of the ninth inning. He hasn't thrown a pitch other than exactly where he wanted to throw it for nine innings.
No hitter,
And Dave Van Gorder was the catcher. He called timeout, went out to talk to Soto, came back, and the next pitch was under George's chin.
Knocked him down. He got up, and he brushed himself off.
And we won. Danny Cox had only given up one run. We end up winning an extra inning.
That's right. The other one, talking about George again, Steve Bedrosian.
Bedrock. Yeah.
Could throw hard.
Yeah.
We were in the ninth inning here, and they were winning. And George is coming up. He said, hey, boys, put up your bats. I don't get paid for extra innings. And I'm a doggone. Bedrosian threw him a fastball up here, and he hit him in the seats. I don't get paid for extra innings.
There's no free baseball with me.
No, not in me.
You know, and George set a trend in baseball that still exists. He was the first guy to have his pants blouse all the way down to his shoes.
Oh, yeah. Right. He was a trendsetter.
You know what? And that's the one guy I was looking forward to hopefully seeing this year.
Yeah. We tried to get him. Yeah. We tried, man. We just can't find him.
He was George. And Ozzy, this may have been before you came to fantasy camp, but George came 2 years in a row to fantasy camp. I'm not sure if you were there at the time. The number one rated guy, that veteran, I mean, because the campers would all say, who do they like? They love George, as you would imagine they would. George is one of the most wonderful guys I've ever met in this game.
You know what? I would talk to him all the time. As long as I wasn't interviewing him, he was fine.
Right.
And he'd tell me stories. About the time when Joaquin Andujar had that custom-made suit, and he took it and put it in the shower, and just let the shower run out of it. And then Jack came out of the trainer's room. He said, hey, show everybody that suit you got. And he couldn't find it, and he looked everywhere. And George said, hey, I don't know who did this, but somebody hung his suit and shot.
We're gonna find it.
Because Joaquin was about to cry. I mean, he worn the suit to the ballpark. He never worn it before. You know what? We can tell George Henry stories all night.
One more. You talk about great arms.
Oh.
Accurate arms.
Always. He took advantage of the AstroTurf, too.
That's right. Now, you remember in 1982, he threw, I think it was Paul Molitor, that he threw out at third, was it? No, it was Gantner.
Yeah.
That he threw out at third base, threw a bullet.
Mike Ramsey.
On the line.
You're right.
He had a great arm, and that's why we love taking infield. When you watch guys take infield, I'm talking about the Dave Winfield, the Clemente.
Hold that story because I want to talk about that at length here. We're going to take a break. John Rooney's here. Ricky Horton's here. Ozzie Smith, Hall of Famer, is here. We're going to take a break, come back. Our final segment, right? It may be a while, folks, so stick around. You don't want to miss this next segment here on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Welcome back to Friday Night Live by Lowe's. Sponsored by Goodwill. Give hope. Give local. Give Goodwill. Now, once again, Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne.
Welcome back, everyone. We are live at Lowe's. The Bullock is where you can find us. We'll be here for another segment, along with, this is like a Hall of Fame table. John Rooney is in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame and other halls of fame. Ricky Horton is as well. Ozzie Smith is here as well.
And you are, too.
I am, too. And I'm blessed to be able to share that honor with all
anybody
four of you guys.
Anybody else in the room?
All three of you guys.
Maybe
somebody, you never know who might walk through here.
Well, we're going to get a couple other guys in because we have to sell some tables.
Yeah. So. See, John didn't tell me that when I got in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I got to do that now. All right. So my question for you, and I brought it up earlier, I used to think, when you guys took infield before the game, it was like watching the Harlem Globetrotters. And I think if baseball was smart, they would kind of encourage players to come out and take infield in front of the fan. Now, the problem is they don't have Pendleton and Smith and Herr and Hernandez or whoever was playing for. They don't have that group of guys. But I think if you want to really incite people to be more engaged with the game, to see how much work you guys put into the game and be able to display it in a manner where people will say, wow, you know, the infield was better than the game.
Well, let me tell you.
And then watching guys hit cutoff people, that's how you teach the game to me.
Well, you know what we use it for, too, is an intimidating factor.
Yeah, let them know.
Intimidation factor. You know, it's sort of like, you remember the Bruins back in the 60s? When you walked in the park,
UCLA, you were down by 10.
You were down, but you knew you had no chance.
You watched them through the layup line, and you were like, uh-oh.
That's what I'm saying. So infield for us was that way. You know, they watch us turn double plays, and you watch the guys throw in the outfield. It was mandatory for us to take infield, and if you couldn't take it, you had to find somebody to replace you. And, you know, when they sit and they watch, you know, they watch me take a ground ball or take me a throw at second base and the ball hits here and comes here and they go, what the heck was that? You know, so it was very intimidating with the way that we did it, and we did it for a reason.
And it was always done right before the game, essentially.
Yeah.
You take BP, then you take infield.
So guys are watching.
So everybody is out there
watching.
Yeah, exactly. So you're checking out, and actually you should be out there. What kind of arm does that guy in right
there?
I remember watching Jack Clark throw in San Francisco when he was with the Giants, throwing from right field, and I thought, we're not running on that
hit. That's right.
Because he had a great arm, too.
Psychological.
So you do have the psychological effect. But, you know, obviously players today take a lot of ground balls. We know they do. They're just taking them at a different time. They're taking them earlier, and they're doing all that. But the fans aren't seeing that.
That's right.
I think that's the other factor here is if we're trying to – we want fans to know how important defense is, Ozzie. I mean,
that's right, and that's why we were all, it was always a part of our routine. You know, you had to take infield, and really it was a kind of the way, if we take batting practice at home, you got to go inside and chill and dry off, mm-hmm. and lay down. But infield was a way to get the blood flowing again, yeah. just before the game started. So we always used that time in a very positive way.
And you said something, Ozzie, that your teams did not beat themselves.
That's right.
I heard the same thing from Don Gutteridge about the Gas House Gang. I heard the same thing from Mike Shannon and Julian Javier and Tim McCarver about those teams in the 60s, your teams in the 80s, and this team right now is not beating itself. It can pick itself up from an error, but when you have those Gold Glovers out there and the young players who aspire to be Gold Glovers like the Cardinals have, they take that seriously, and I think that's a big reason they've won 91 to this point.
91, yeah. You know how to spell chemistry? W-I-N, baby. Chemistry.
See, you about to give me a spelling test here. I was
like, he got nervous.
He got nervous. Uh-oh.
Is it a K or a C-H?
I think you can do that with Flames. I'm pretty confident.
You know, give him another chance.
His eyes got big.
Ricky and I, we were doing the game. I said, what was your best subject in class when you were in school? And he had to think about it for a minute.
I'm in the car. I had to come home early because I was a bad boy.
Explain that, Chuck.
There was a situation.
A protocol issue.
A protocol issue where someone at the table where I had dinner in the press room had supposedly tested positive.
Okay.
So just as a precaution, Chris Tuno and I drove back home because we were at the table and we're listening to the broadcast.
He has a mask for you here, by the way, just in case.
He has a mask.
Chris Tuno is here.
He's still watching you. Big brother's watching you.
Oh, this is from Svengoolie. Oh.
Svengoolie.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. So anyway, Tunes and I, we're driving home, and he asked Ricky, what was your best subject? I'm going, it's got to be math. He's Archimedes over here.
Exactly.
And that was the second choice.
It was history.
History.
And then that's what it was for us listening to the game. Uh-huh. It was history.
Turn it off. History.
I don't want to insult any other genre of music, but I get the feeling it was something you guys hadn't listened to in a long, long time. I'll just let it go with that.
Well, I am healthy and well, and Tunes is well, and we got to come to the park today, and all is well.
Good, 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 good. You look great.
Thank you.
We all look great at this point. We're having fun. This team is really good. And I think that, and we've seen teams that are competing. We saw the Dodgers. We saw the Padres. And I know the Dodgers have, you know, they won 100-plus games. I really feel like the Cardinals can step in a box with anybody right now as far as their ability to manufacture runs, whether it's the home run, whether it's moving the line, as John says, and their defense is always going to be there. The Dodgers, they strike out a lot. They can put a good inning together, but I don't know if they have enough guys after they come out of the sixth inning that's going to make them effective. San Diego, they don't have enough guys that have been there. I think this is going to be a very entertaining postseason on both sides. American League is the same. Hey, Seattle, nobody wants to play Seattle.
Nobody won't play the Astros either.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody's talking about the Astros.
You're right.
That's a sleeper. Yeah,
that's a mistake.
Throw in Tito Francona, what he did in Cleveland. He got a bunch of kids, and they keep saying, nodding their head, okay, let's go out here.
They're
see
hot right
yeah.
now.
Exactly.
So what I think about, I always think about this comment that I learned from Dan Quisenberry, and Ozzie, we were teammates with him at a moment back in the 80s. And, you know, we used to play bridge on the plane all the time, and he taught us all how to play bridge. You know, it seems like we were like 85 and we were retired and we're playing bridge on the plane and as Cardinal
you
players.
You play bridge at some of the homes too now.
They do. But one of the things that he said, he taught us all, he said, don't be fooled by a hand that's aces and spaces. That was his phrase. It's like aces, so it looks really good, but you got nothing else in the middle. You got three or four. You got a hand that looks good, but really isn't going to play well. And so, I think of that in terms of a baseball team. When you got aces, but space it, you need to have quality kind of middle cards, too, is what his point was. But I think that translates to baseball. So when you talk about a team, you might say, wow, that guy's really great. Maybe the Padres right now are aces and spaces type team. Because you said, well, they have Machado, and they have Soto, and they have, and then you say,
and then
well,
what?
And then what about the middle guys? What about, how's their middle relief? How's their defense? How's their, and those, you start those, asking other questions.
What,
and
what you're
different.
Saying is those guys end up being the most important part.
Supporting cast,
the
least.
Supporting
yeah.
cast becomes yeah. very, very important.
Yeah.
You know, in a perfect example, Mike Ramsey.
Yeah, yes. I was just about to bring his name.
Mike
up.
Ramsey. Yeah. yeah. You know, you have to have people that can step in, and this is where Whitey was always good. He was a genius.
Beyond good.
At having those type of people who knew that they weren't going to be starters. When they went in there and they had a great two or three days or two or three weeks, they knew that they were not the starters.
You know,
starters.
Steve Braun used to say, sit me or trade me.
Sit me or trade me, that's right.
I don't want to play too much. They're going to overexpose me.
Yeah, so they become a very, very important part of the success of any organization.
And that's this team we have now has that same bridge. Because you can talk about Goldschmidt, Arenado, Yachty, Albert, but then there's the Donovan, the Tommy Edmonds.
Dickerson's.
I mean, you know, there's some guys.
You can win with those guys.
You can win that middle ground.
And what it boils down to, it boils down to, as it always does, is how you pitch. You got to pitch.
That, to me, makes Atlanta really dangerous because their middle three produces as much as the top three and the bottom three. We went through that when we were there in July.
That's right.
That they broke it down. We're getting this number of RBIs from the top three, this from the middle, and this from the bottom. And then here come the pitchers with Strider having a great year. He's hurt right now, but Fried has been sensational for them. Charlie Morton continues to deal. Kenley Jansen, he got the job done tonight. So
it's going to be.
They're tough.
I will say this. You can look at the standings, but when this thing starts at zero for everybody,
any team
can get in this thing and get hot, and all of a sudden you say, where did they come from?
Yep.
This is going to be as fun of a postseason as I think baseball could ever have, and I think it's a tribute to the support that the fans have given this game again. We have 47,000 people here tonight.
Hey, man.
And people marvel at what fans do here in St. Louis. And obviously, it's an incredible ride with Albert, Yachty, Waino, Goldie, and Arenado, and all the other young kids that we've seen come up. But this is exactly what the game needed. Because players now come into St. Louis and say, wow, we're going to play in front of a lot of people tonight, so we better bring our A game, too.
And not only a lot of people, but a great tradition, too. And I don't want to embarrass you, Ozzie, but I'm probably going to. I mentioned something on the air tonight. I said, you know, as we get towards playoff time, on a daily basis throughout the year, we miss Red Shanings. We miss Lou Brock. Yeah, we miss Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, I mean, it's just almost painful at times because they were, especially at big moments. And so I made the comment that, as we get into October, we're going to miss them even more. But I will say, with great respect for you, you know, thankfully we'll have Ozzie Smith out there. I mean, honestly, you are that guy for us. You're the guy that represents the history of the Cardinals and have been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so just appreciate the fact that he's not that old.
Thank
but
you.
He's been around
long You're trying to make
enough.
Me seem old.
He's
That's okay. Better,
he's
That's
as
all
old
right.
as me, so
I,
he's
I
old
accept.
Enough.
I can accept it.
But he's been around. He's been around and he represents generations of Cardinal fans. Let's put it that way. So
yes.
No, he's it. Because, you know, I was thinking about it earlier about all those people you mentioned, and you are the face of this organization.
Yeah.
On and off the field as far as the tradition that has been set. And I couldn't think of a better person I would want to have as the face of my organization because of what you meant to so many for so many years. And that's something that these players are going to feed off of because when you show up to the ballpark and they know they can come up and talk to you, and I know we didn't have spring training where you could have access to guys, but, you know, I remember we've had a couple of managers in Mike Schilt and Mike Matheny who were like, hey, look, we got a Hall of Famer here. If you don't go over and introduce yourself and know who you let him know who you are, then you're missing out on a great opportunity. And hopefully spring training will be better for next year where you can be part of that again.
Yeah.
Because you are, you're it, man.
I look forward to it.
So on that, let me ask you on that subject, Ozzie. Who have you connected with most? And I mean, who do you think you have the greatest connection with?
COVID threw everything off.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, so we haven't had a chance to spend the quality time that we would like with people. I haven't had a chance to spend any quality time with Arenado.
Yeah.
You know, and
I want to sit there when you two start talking about preparation.
I would love to be able to sit down.
I'd like to see you both play on the left side of the infield one day.
You know what? be a left-handed pitcher.
You might want to come back. Hit as hard as you want.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be fun. You know, and we can always, look at moments like that and think of guys that you would have loved to have played with. And there are a lot of guys that I would have loved to have had the opportunity to play with. I would love to play behind Carpenter.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I would love to play behind Gibson. God, please.
I mean, there is.
I got the chance to play behind Forrest. Bobby was – Bobby. We don't talk about it a lot. Bobby Forrest was as bulldoggish as anybody.
Ask Jeffrey Leonard.
That's ever pitched.
Ask Jeffrey Leonard.
Yeah.
But that one pitch, I thought, turned that whole series around.
It did. It did.
But, Ozzie, there isn't a day goes by that we don't come to this ballpark and think about Stan,
the man.
Red, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock. Yep. We think about you. We think about the Hall of Famers. That's why we enjoy this game so much. And the generations to come will enjoy it because of Arenado and Goldie and Tommy Edmond.
And Albert and Yachty.
As we talked about off air, we are very blessed to be in a position of where we can create memories that last a lifetime. You know, and it's just... for me, people say, well, what was your greatest moment? There were a lot of great moments, but I don't know if there will be one that's bigger than Smith Cork's one down the line. May go crazy. Folks, go crazy. And now for you, calling number 700. Mm-hmm. It's just, golly, what a blessing to be in a position.
There's a whole lot of places.
You can be a part of that.
I wish I could have called that drop fly ball by Brent Brown, though, in Milwaukee. I wish I could have called that one. Poor Ron Santo just cried. He was crying on that. And the anniversary the other day was Brown's on the coaching staff for the Dodgers. They were bringing that up. And I was driving to the ballpark, to Comiskey Park, listening to that broadcast. I had to drive off the road. I had to pull off the road. I was crying, laughing so hard.
As we wind things down, as I said, you're the face of Cardinal baseball, Hall of Famer, who's still here, made your roots here, and raised your family here. What has this meant to you? I mean, because everywhere you go, and the reason why people love Ozzie is because you're such an accommodating person. You're such a professional in how you do things. But what has it meant to you personally? Because you've seen a whole lot go on here in St. Louis.
Well, here again, Mike, the reason that players come here and stay here is because of the people. They make it, so special. And when you invest, I've always wanted to be in a place where I can feel proud of the place that I call home. And if I want to make that place a decent place to live, then I got to invest in it. Mm-hmm. And I've invested in this, and I think there are a lot of people that have invested in this town and what it's all about. And it all starts with the Cardinal baseball, which is the main reason
why we're all here.
It's been an easy transition for me to come here and do what I do. I love going out every day. And, you talk about generations. When you have 3 and 4 and 5 year olds
who never saw you play,
that your legacy has lived through their parents. Their parents they talk about the legacy and the times, and it's nice to go around, be it at the grocery store or shopping or whatever, and have people say, you were part of the fabric of my life.
So you said earlier your dad told you, when you went to the ballpark, watch number 24, and that was Willie Mays. And then he said, at a different time, watch number 21, and that's Roberto Clemente. How many generations and how many families in St. Louis said, make sure you watch number one?
Keep an eye on it. And that's why I go back to infield before the game. People would come in. Hey, before we get out of here, you have an event that I've been blessed to be part of from when we're here in town. You know, we play a lot of baseball in October, in case you haven't heard. But you have a gala that takes place that does so much for so many people in St. Louis. It's coming up in October again, so tell everybody about it because they need to get on board with this.
That's right. It's called PGA Reach, and I've had the likes of Dr. J.
Well, that was when he came Bowie in, Jack, I was set. Johnny that was Bench. My idol growing up.
I've had Cal Ripken and Eddie Murray. I've had
Johnny Bench.
Robin Young. I've had Johnny Bench. I had Bob Gibson and Reggie Jackson. And what we do is it's not a traditional star-studded event. Oh, I shouldn't say star-studded event, but celebrities. And we have a round table on Sunday evening at the Ritz where what we're doing now, where we just sit and we talk about...
Just shooting the breeze.
Just shooting the breeze and giving people an opportunity to learn about how a guy grew up, you know, what made him great. And so this year it's October 16th. And we're doing the 1982 World Championship team. You know, Whitey will be there. Dave LaPointe will be there.
That sells it for me, those two.
So it's with that theme. And we're going to sit and we're going to talk about the 1982 season. And then we play golf the next day. We're playing at Boone Valley this year. And so it's one of those things that I've been doing now for 14 years since I retired. And I'm probably... in the golf a lot more now than I
oh,
am
really?
Baseball.
Yeah. Sure, really.
So how can people find out about that, Oz? Where do they go?
Go to OzzySmithGolf.com to find out about that. We, you know, the golf sells out so quickly, and especially when you play in some of the venues that we're playing at. But there are still tables available if you want to come and join us. And
can you save a couple spots for me and a left-hander?
You and a left-hander. Yeah. In the event
we have an off day?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the good and the bad.
Right, that's
you know?
True.
It's the good and the bad.
We like to be busy, but...
Yeah, if you're not busy,
yep.
You know, if you're not busy, please come join us.
You know, it just dawned on me, all those, all those young kids know you, Ozzy, because of your appearance in that great movie, Bird to the Future.
They made the kids watch it. They said, wait a minute, I already did my homework. Why are you doing? Why are you making me watch this? You know what? After you said that, I have nothing else to say. Oz, first of all, thank you for being part of this.
Thank you.
Yep. Because this is our last show, and we thought we'd save the best for last. Secondly, thank you for being who you are as a teammate, as a friend to me and John and everybody else. And more importantly, thank you for what you meant to wearing the birds on the bat to Cardinal Nation. Mm. And I sincerely mean it because you're the face.
Let me say this, Mike. It has been an honor and a pleasure to watch you and listen to you guys. Because, you know, you guys present the game in a way that we all understand it. You know the way the game should be played. And this guy to my left here, Ricky Horton, you know, I've watched him when he started, and I've watched where he is now. He's made giant strides in the way you present it now, Rick, and I'm very, very proud of you.
Well,
and,
I'm blessed to have been your teammate, brother.
Well,
appreciate
it
that.
Was, it's fun. It's fun to watch and listen to you guys and John. You just you just do it. It's so natural, you know. And I love listening to it.
Well, thank you, Ozzy, and boy, we love watching you play. And I just love spending any time I can with you.
Well,
and
thank you.
All of our Cardinal fans and our audience tonight feel blessed that you're a part of the show. I'm
well,
sure.
True that.
Thank you.
Amen.
And he still won't give me strokes when we
no,
play.
No, you don't get stroked, all right.
I play with him. He needs them.
And hey, you know what? You know what I say about that? Yeah. You're right. Hey, thank you so much,
all
man.
Right, thank
hey,
you.
I may do it again, so okay. Will you be there for the second one?
I'll be there.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. For John Rooney, Hall of Famer, Ricky Horton, Hall of Famer, Ozzy Smith, Hall of Famer, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. This has been as much fun as we've had all season. Thanks to everybody sitting at this table. I want to thank Ben Boyd for putting this together.
Thank you, Ben.
I want to thank our engineers and everybody back at the station for doing such a yeoman job. Every Friday we're here, and we can't go without thanking the people here at the Bullock.
and what they've done. They've been great.
The service is outstanding. Folks, if you ever think about
having
food's
good.
Here,
the food's good, too.
This is a great place to be. It is an incredible place. You might want to think about being here when we get in the postseason, especially when we get to the World Series in deep October.
It'll be hopping.
This will be the place to be. So for everybody here, everybody back at the station, and certainly everybody with the Cardinals, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. For all these guys here, we thank you one more time. We look forward to seeing you well in the postseason on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Post Game Show on KMOX.